How many of you know that God is on the move and he's not going to stop? He told us, once I start, I'm never going to stop. And we're seeing God move mightily in each and every service. And really and truly, if you start looking around about you on the streets, you're going to see God working on the streets also. And even in your workplaces, you're going to be surprised at how God uses you right now in this dispensation. He's going to open doors for you to speak about the love of God, and you're going to see many souls come into the kingdom. And all you have to do is just be a vessel. Just be a vessel that God can work through. Amen. I'm excited, and I'm believing that you're all excited. Yes. And I'm going to tell Aaron to keep the floor good and clean, because you're going to spend more time on the floor than you do in your seat. Amen. Well, let's just rejoice in God. Let's just rejoice because we are the called out ones. We are the ones that God has chosen to just fill us full of himself and to go forth with might and power. Might and power. And I'm going to tell you, everything that you receive tonight, you need to keep it, grasp it to your heart, and don't let the enemy steal it from you. All right? Well, you know, we start at 9:45 now because the song services are longer. But I've always told you from day one that the miracles happen during praise and worship. And this is what God's been doing. He's been doing great, mighty miracles during praise and worship. So if you sit at home and wait to the last minute and get here, you might miss out on your miracle. I don't care if you come here or not, but I'm just saying, if you really want your healings or your miracles, you know, God is on the move and he starts early. You know, as I was sitting there right before God spoke a word, he said, you know, why do they think they can only come to one service on Sunday? He said, I require all day. Sunday's my day. And, you know, people think, well, I went to church this morning, I don't need to go to church this evening. But yet, when you was in the world, or you're still in the world, you're not quite totally saved yet, you gave the devil 24/7. You gave him all the time you could give him. Why don't we do that for Jesus? You know, I know that we would really tear the town wide open if we would give Jesus all of Sunday. Well, you know, I'm tired. Well, you know, do you need a healing? God's never tired, but he can always look the other way. I just, it really bothers me when people say, well, I gave him 2 hours Sunday morning. And, you know, I did my dues. No, you didn't. You're just trying to keep yourself out of hell. Well, anyhow, Brother Alan, you have a testimony.
This is a mother of all testimonies. So, last Sunday,
he wants you to stand. Is he okay where he's at?
During praise and worship. And everybody knows who knows me. It's no secret that I've been battling smoking with everything I have. God said, through Pastor Barbara, step out of the smoke that's around you and step forward into the light. And I did that. And I've been smoking for who knows how long, since I was a kid. And I have done literally everything in my power to fight this. I have fought this every which way but loose and have never been able to beat it. I beat it a little bit. And when I walked down, when that was done, where it was beaten was in my mind. Because in my mind, because of all the times that I tried and failed and couldn't do it, that stronghold was in my mind. Because I was convinced I couldn't do it. Even though God kept telling me year after year after year, telling me, Pastor Barbara, Pastor Barbara, son, I'm going to rip it right out of you. And that's exactly what he did. And those of you that know me know how big this is. And I give all thanks to God.
So how many days have you been smoke-free?
Well, it happened Sunday. I had a couple left. I smoked those. And then one time I bought a pack, smoked one, threw it away. So it's been...
Since last Sunday.
Yeah, since last Sunday. Absolutely.
Why did you have to go buy another pack?
Well, okay. All
Why
right.
did you have to
You
end?
Guys battled something for 45 years and see how God. I knew I was free in my mind, and I was. And when I was smoking it, I still knew I was free. I really did. This
why
is a battle of the mind.
Why do you always have to finish the pack?
I didn't. Oh, yeah, I had four left.
I don't know.
You know what? Whatever, man. It's gone. I promise it's gone. I've never been able to say that, ever. And I know that I know it is.
Now, I'm not finished with you yet.
Yes, ma'am.
So you were telling him about sleeping. What was this about?
Oh, yeah,
sleeping?
There's all kinds of things that go along with this. Whenever I do manage to quit for however long, I can't sleep. Doesn't matter what I do, I can't sleep. I sleep like a baby. No, it's completely and totally gone. Every song we sing is true. All you have to do is believe it. And that's the truth. Even a little bit. Just believe it a little bit, man. Yeah.
How many years did it take you to realize that?
I've believed for a lot of things. This one was a stronghold of the mind.
I know, but how many years?
Did it take to believe that?
Huh?
Did it take to believe what?
And what you just told us, that everything we sing is...
I've known it all along. I've gone through deliverance for 10 years. Solid, nonstop, evil, nastiness coming out of me. This was the last thing. This was a stronghold of the mind. And God ripped it out of me just like he said he would. Over and over, he told me.
And see...
Oh, my goodness,
Alan
man.
Alan also knew he couldn't move on with his ministry as long as he smoked.
Right, that was the thing. Because God said, I have all power and authority against the enemy. And I believe that. But not as long as there was this sin and the shame of the sin. And that's why the anointing is here to break anything. I promise, anything. Especially the sin that so easily besets you. That's what's here. And that's a healing also. This was a healing.
You know, and God said to you tonight, it's going to come out of your innermost
belly. I saw something during that too.
That was awesome because, you know, that's where the rivers of water are, right. In the innermost part of your being. And now God has said it's no longer going to come out of your mind.
Right.
But now it's going to come out of the very most inner part of your being when you're doing deliverance. Watch and see what happens.
Oh, boy. I'm not kidding. Listen, I'm laying there and I saw that thing where it says, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven. I saw God striking Satan with lightning, and then I saw lightning coming out of my hands. I have lightning to fight these stinking things with now.
All right, you can sit down now.
Thank you.
I mean, really, truly, many times God told me Alan's not going to make it because he won't give up those cigarettes. And I would tell him every now and then, and he fought and fought, and finally he's free. So what I'm telling you is you have to fight, and finally you're free. Amen. And you guys that God touched and said you're healed, you're healed. You really are healed. And quit letting the devil tell you you're not. God's in the miracle working business, and he's not going to quit. He just isn't going to quit. Tonight, did I do an opening prayer? No, I didn't. Father God, we just thank you for what you've done thus far in this service. Father, I truly do thank you for bringing the Holy Spirit and all of your power and might. I thank you for all those that you touched, Father. Bradley, God is saying to you, son, if you believe that you were set free tonight, stand up. Stand up into your liberty. Let the devil know that you believe what the Father tells you. Thank you. You can sit back down now. Thank you. You know, one song we sing, get up, get up, get up, get up. And you're sitting here, you have sickness and everything. You're sitting there saying, get up, get up. You know, the devil's watching all that. He knows you don't mean a word you're saying. And he doesn't have to leave you. And so whenever I say, get up, get up. You know, we're singing that song. I say, get up. Yeah, you know, we mean get up and just let God do. Let the devil see that you believe. Is it Jane Joyce? Do you have a testimony of a healing? Sure she does. God's been doing great things, in case y'all don't know it.
Last week when I came in, well, before I came in, first of all, I'm saved and I believe in what God says about his, every blessing that he has, it belongs to me because I belong to him. And I've been dealing with health issues, seemingly like one thing after another. I think you prayed with me a few weeks ago. I came in like my blood pressure shot up. Then my eye got swole. And then I was dealing with a neuropathy pain like 3 o'clock in the morning last Sunday, like a pain was going through my body. And only if you know, I think, what neuropathy is, you understand that pain is like electricity shooting through your body and you can't really stop it. You just apply ice, keep rubbing, you can get tired and you just be to the point of tears trying to make it stop. It's just on and off. So I told God, I said, when I get to church, I expect my healing to come to pass. And it came to pass. And that next morning when I got up, I was like, okay, everything's fine. Then a little test. I was thinking about you. A little test came where the other, I don't know if it was the same foot or not, but I started to feel a little something, not to the same strength, but where it was making me feel like a little shaky inside. And I began to speak to my toes, to my calves, to my whole body. And I said, I refuse you. By his stripes, I'm healed. He took my infirmities, carried my diseases away, and I refuse you any entrance into my body. And it stopped. And then that was it. So, thank God.
Her face shines like she's been in the glory. And she didn't smile as much before she does now. So God just came in and he did a total. In fact, she was standing up here and everybody else was going out in the spirit and she was just standing. And I had my hand on her shoulder and I said, she's receiving, let her go. And God just saturated her full of his anointing. God's so good. This is what we live for. And it's just what we live for, to see people set free. Because I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of seeing people bound up in the house of God. Amen.
I just want to tell you that this morning, I don't know, something happened to me. I don't even know yet what it is, but I know it's a shift. And tonight, the presence of God was just, so I saw myself laying on the floor. And when I do that, when he gives me that vision, I just go ahead and follow what he's telling me to do. So I laid on the floor, I'm crying, and my back was burning. I said, Lord, what are you doing? He says, I'm burning things out of your body. So I'll keep you posted.
Now, I remember in the morning, God told me to touch you. And it took me, played the song twice to get up the nerve to do that because I figured she was going to grab me and try to do something with me. That's just Barbara. But God started in the morning and finished it then.
Well, this was a couple weeks ago when they were doing that song about fighting the battle already. I was out here, so it's about 3 weeks ago. I lay a little bit of foundation. I had a rash all over my body from the back of my neck, down my back, a lot of other places. So you can imagine when you go to bed at night and you're going like this and you're going like this and you're scratching all over, you know. I knew what it was from. I have a 106-year-old mother in the nursing home and they're calling me all the time about everything. She's not going to make it. Oh, she's going to make it. She's not going to make it. So that's one thing. I have a 78-year-old husband at home with a lot of issues and I take care of him. My daughter is battling cancer. I had a vision about a year and a half ago, and the Lord told me to warn her to quit smoking when she didn't. So I guess I was worrying, and worry's a sin. But the Lord said to me, daughter, worry. No, he said, daughter, stress, because it was stress. I knew it was stress. I mean, you can't get stress. I was in the medical field 30 years. I know what stress is. He said, daughter, stress is the rent you're paying on worry. I'm going, oh my God, I'm not worrying about nothing. I'm not. But psychologically, in the back of my head, I was. And I said, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I said, I can't take this anymore. He said, I will meet you there tonight. And he met me there. And within 3 days, it was totally gone. Totally, totally, totally gone. I'm not stressed and I'm not worried about nothing.
If you listen, God's really speaking and telling you what he's going to do. because I know what he's going to do at every service. I just have to wait for him to do it. But God is on the move. He's truly on the move. Tell everybody you meet, God is on the move. His miracle power is on the move. And tell them to receive whatever they have need of. All right? All right, so we got our testimonies. Everybody feels good. So let's get into the service tonight. I've entitled, this is a prophetic word from God he gave me this last night. I've entitled it, Where Did You Come From? God said, in this day and age of much demonic affliction, my children must know for themselves from whence they came and where they are going. Going to have to know that. I have been speaking to those who have ears to hear, and they have begun to understand the importance of staying in my presence and receiving all I have for them. I looked up Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee, what did God say? You have to know from whence you came and where you're going. Jeremiah says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So I said, the Father knew you and knew what you were going to do before you were born. John the Baptist, he leaped in his mother's belly when he came in contact with Jesus in his mother's belly. He was full of the Spirit before he was ever born. You hear this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he knew you. And then Ephesians 1, 4 says, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, then he's saying we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Each one of you in here tonight need to know that you were with God in heaven before he planted a seed in your mother's womb. You need to quit cursing the womb that you were born from, because God knew what he was doing. He knew whose womb you needed to be in so he could use you for your purpose. Now, if you're going to go out there and minister to the down and outers, and if you had a mother, God put the seed in a mother's womb who was full of love and kept you sheltered, and you never knew any wrong, how would you minister to those who are out there hurting and dying on the streets, you know? And so what he would do is he put that seed in the womb of a person who really didn't know how to show love, and then you had to fight. Growing up, and by the time when your proper time was, God had you all fashioned. He fashioned you to use you to go out there and minister to those that are hurting and dying. All right. Some say, well, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. No, you were born exactly where God wanted you. And they said, that's why they don't this, that, and the other. No, you were born to the mother in the womb that he wanted you in. So quit blaming your mothers for what's going on in your life. You want to fuss with somebody, fuss with God. He knew what he was doing, all right? So God goes on to say, in this day and age of much demon. Oh, I read that, didn't I? I'm down about Paul and Silas. God said Paul and Silas knew their mission. You hear that? And what was my, where did you come from? And you need to know where you're going. Paul and Silas knew their mission, and no matter what they had to endure, they endured to the end. They made up their minds that their mission was from Jesus, and they had answered the call never to go backwards. Paul and Silas knew their mission. A lot of you in here, well, you probably do now, but when you first came, you did not know your mission for God. But God has been putting you in that wine press and squeezing all the old stuff out so he could put the new stuff in so you would know what your mission was all about. And you'll probably be like me. You think, oh, I know where I'm going, boy. And then a year down the road, say, oh, that isn't where I thought I was going to be at all. You know, we don't understand God's ways. And, well, if I'm so wonderful with God, how come I had to go through all that? Well, you had to go through all that so you could minister to the people that God's going to place in your path. All right, let's look at some scriptures on running the race. I did this because Paul and Silas knew their mission. 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You press on, no matter what's going on in your walk with God, you press on. For what reason? Toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Do you understand your race? Do you understand the road that God has your feet on? And do you understand why you're going through what you're going through? So you have to know these things. If you don't know these things, the enemy's going to take you out. You will never finish that race. And I happened to look at Bill and Marsha Burns' prophetic word for today, and she used this scripture about, and I already had this, Brett had it, I couldn't print anything out. But this was a scripture that God put on there about running the race. That was her word for today. So God's telling everybody, you know, are you really running your race? Are you really on the right race track? Are your feet on the track God has placed them on? Or did you find another track that you thought was lucrative and you're running on it? God said, when I spoke to Peter, he was grieved, but rose to the occasion with great signs, wonders, and miracles following his mission. So I put down John 21:17. Jesus said unto Peter the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because Jesus said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know, Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, if that's the case, then Peter, feed my sheep. Jesus is saying the very same thing to you and I tonight. You messed up. You repented. Now go forward and feed the sheep. Don't say, well, yeah, I did this and I disqualified myself. No, you didn't. Peter, if anybody, Peter disqualified himself by denying Jesus three times. Then Jesus came back to him and said to him, three times, do you really love me? And if you really truly mean what you're saying, Peter, then get out there and feed my sheep. Spread my word. And this is what God is saying to us tonight. Get out there and spread God's word. You've already been through your pity party and everything else. Now get out, get up on your feet and stay there and do what God's calling you for to do. And then God went on to say, this is where you are at, beloved ones. Those of you who have not shunned my call, but are embracing it, are walking in the miraculous. I saw each and every one of you laying hands on the sick and even the demon possessed. And I saw you, those people being set free. Everybody in here that comes at Lighthouse Church all the time, you are anointed to go forth with the miracles in your life. All right, then Jesus went on to say, this is the realm of the greater works that Jesus spoke about. Is the enemy going to, now this, I thought this was sort of neat what Jesus said. Is the enemy going to back off? Did he back off for Jesus? Did he back off for Peter? Did he back off for Paul? Now, wasn't that a silly question to ask? You know, okay, I'm very greatly anointed and I'm working for you, God. Now, is the devil going to leave me alone? Come on. I thought that was sort of neat. And then Jesus went on to say, you don't quit just because the adversary is on the prowl stronger than ever. In other words, it doesn't matter how strong he's coming after you. You don't quit. This is a time when you need to go forth stronger than ever. Your light should be shining so bright that it knocks out all the darkness, not just a speck. Are you hearing that? I think some of you need to take the shade off of your light. Because your light isn't shining as bright as it should. Amen. You're still thinking inwardly about, poor me, what about me? What is that word, narcissus, or whatever that word is? God said, there's so many sitting in the house of God. We're going to do a sermon just on that and get you set free. All you think about is yourself. You know? All right, then God said, how bright is your light? From whence cometh your help? Does it come from the dark side or does it come from the heavenly realm? All right. Children, you must have the answers and they must be correct. This army of souls I am sending you to minister to will ask you questions and you must know the correct answers. If we're still fumbling around trying to figure out what God's doing with us, how can we help somebody else? Right? God said the body of Christ has not yet come to grips with their anointing power. And this is one reason you hold back and do not proceed forward. And he said, does not my word say? And I put down Luke 10:17. And the 70, disciples returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I believe that was in that prophetic word he gave tonight. Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven. All right. Notice that the first verse tells you that you can have God's power and authority to trample over all the power of the enemy, not just against some part of his power. This means you can have God's anointing and power operating in your life to come out completely victorious against any storm cloud that may attempt to come against you in this life. It doesn't matter what Satan throws your way. You're already victorious. And I was just saying to somebody coming down here, I said, really, if I didn't press forward, I could be dead right now. But I know what God has told me. And just like whatever he's doing in here, he's going to do it to me in his timing. But in the meantime, I'm healed. I'm not going to let the devil tell me nothing else. Are you listening? And you need to do the same thing. If God told you something, it's going to come to pass. Hold on to that and don't let go of it. And as I was reading back here, Neil, God said you have the greatest platform there is to spread the truth of his gospel. And he said, you better spread it. And spread it to his glory. All right? It's on a tape. Now I've lost my place. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Well, you all don't believe that scripture. Come up, you line up and I'll slap you. Maybe we can slap some sense into you tonight. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Some people say that and don't even believe it. Isn't that the truth? I know that you guys in here, before you knew the truth, you've said that because after all, it's in the Word. And it wasn't doing a thing for you because you really didn't believe it. You just heard it. Satan's power is restricted. It's limited and it's temporal. Satan can only do whatever God lets him do to you. He can't do nothing more. You've heard my stories on that. They're testimonies, not stories. But whatever God gives him permission to do, buddy, he's going to do it with all of his might. He doesn't fool around. Our Luke 10:19, I have given you authority and power. This is Jesus speaking. I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Now that's Luke 10:19. Do you believe God's word or do you not? Nothing shall in any way harm you. Oh, you can't convince me of that. We've said at times, right? Come on. You know, and God told me the enemy could do anything he wanted to me, but kill me. Boy, that was a line I used. You can't kill me. God said you're going to bring everything against me, but you can't kill me. Because his thing is, I'm going to kill you. And oh, no, you're not, buddy. You might be able to do some other things to me, but you can't kill me. You know, really and truly, Jesus, Jesus could have got down off that cross. He didn't even have to get on the cross. He did not have to hang there and die, but he did it to fulfill scripture so you and I could one day sit in heavenly places. So, saying that, when God asks you to do a special thing and it's a hard thing, you really don't have to do that thing. But because you love Jesus and you want to do his will, you do it because it's to help somebody else, not you. All right. And when you refuse to do it, what you're saying, I'm too selfish and self-centered, and I just want to look out for myself and not others. Then God went on to say, children, this is what you must come to grips with. You must once and for all understand that I have given you all power and authority, not the enemy. The enemy doesn't give you anything good. Do not remain another Adam and Eve. Do not allow the enemy to steal what I have given you. You know, Adam and Eve allowed the enemy to get them kicked out of the garden. And God's saying, don't be like them. God said, today is a mighty day of understanding who has all power and authority. I will give you understanding as you go forth. Not as you sit still. Not as you say, well, God, is it really going to happen? He said here, today is a mighty day of understanding who has all power and authority. I will give you understanding as you go forth. I will give you the anointing in a mighty way. You know, I was really thrilled that God said to Alan, out of your belly, because he has a thick head and it's hard to get anything through his head. So, you know, God said, now we're going to go from your head to your belly, where the power and authority is in the living waters, and from there you're going to minister to the people. You get that little stupid head with the glasses on it, set it aside. And that goes for every one of us sitting in here. It's not what we want to do. I mean, I know a lot of us sitting in here, we would love to do a lot of good things, but it's not God's will. You know, how did Saul lose his kingship? He wasn't supposed to start the fire or do the praying, whatever it was. And he figured the prophet wasn't there on time, so he figured he'd just do it. And a prophet told him, you would have been king forever, but because of your disobedience, God is stripping the kingship from you and giving it. Then he gave it to David. It doesn't matter what you think is okay. Does God think it's okay? You might think it's okay to run down some other pastor or another brother and sister, but it's not okay in the eyes of God. You think it's all right, well, I'll judge this pastor with this pastor. That might be all right with you, but that's not all right with God, because he dealt with us. I don't do that, but he dealt with that with us about that, not to do that. Do not judge one another. You keep your nose in your face, and God will take care of the other guy's face, right? And you just go forth and you do what God's telling you to do. And I've never seen, churches that want pastors want to run each other down. That's a shame that you're you feel so inadequate that you think that makes you a big person. Don't do that. Don't do that. You have your anointing. Everybody else has their anointing. God uses your personality and the anointing he gave you to do the great and mighty works. All right. You don't want no more than one of me. I'm all you can handle. I couldn't handle Brother Neil at all. I pray for his wife all the time. You know, you see what I'm saying? You know, we just need to just keep our nose on our own faces. And I know he has, God called it a great platform. And I know his emails he sent out are really great and informative. And that's what God gave him to do. But what is it? He didn't give you to do that. You know, so don't, I'll copy what Brother Neil's doing. No, you won't. No, you won't. You will do what God's telling you to do, won't you? And he'll tell Juan, you can't sleep in church anymore either, Juan. You have to sit up and get awake. Amen. So God went on to say, this is a new day. Walk ye in it with all power and authority and destroy the enemy's tactics. I don't know if you understand the reason why God's been moving so mightily in every service. He's not going to stop. It's just, and you know, it's getting greater and greater. But do you understand that while this is happening, you're standing in that anointing? And that anointing is going through you also. And then as you go out there, wherever you're at doing your business, that anointing's in you. And it's not my anointing. It's the anointing God sets into the church. And with that anointing, you're going to save many, many souls. Brother McNeil said, amen. Do you rest of you don't believe that? Thank you. Thank you. Do you understand you're being anointed when God does this? That's his purpose. His purpose is to bring his anointing into the house so he can saturate you with his glory. And as he saturates you with his glory, then he's going to send you forth.